We're in Simon Lamed Beis, Seif Vav. Ein Tzarech L'Sartet. So first let's introduce Sirtut. What is Sirtut? Sirtut means, we all are familiar that when writing on paper, a notepad for instance, generally there are blue or some other color lines on the paper to enable and assist one in writing straight lines. So obviously on animal hides, on cloth, which tefillin are written on, there are no blue lines on the parchment. And therefore, the innovation that was created to assist one in writing straight when writing on parchment is what's called sirtut. Sirtut are lines, colorless lines, which are scored into the parchment with an awl, I believe is the name of the tool, AWL. And assuming that the lines are scored in straight, that will assist the writing to be straight. So the halacha is that by mezuzah, there's halacha l'maish misinai, that there has to be sirtut. According to most Rishonim by Sefer Torah as well, there's a halacha l'maish misinai that there has to be sirtut. And now the question is, what about by tefillin? So says the Mechaber, ein tzarech l'sartet ki im shita el yayna, only the top line needs sirtut. And if one is not able to write straight without sirtut, he can score all the other lines as well, not just the top line. The reason for the top line, there's a separate halacha that one is not allowed to write any psukim of Kisvei HaKodesh, or three words of any pasuk, at least, without sirtut. So this is a big discussion. There are entire svarim written about this. It's impossible to address the whole issue, but at least that's what's going on over here. So again, so Ein Tzarech L'Sartet, one does not have to, according to the Mechaber, one does not have to score lines in the tefillin, ki im l'shita el yayna, only the top line, period. V'im eini yadei l'yasher ashita b'lay sirtut, if one is unable to write straight without scoring lines into the parchment, Yisartet kol hashuris, what he should do is, he should indeed score lines in for all of the lines of the tefillin, thereby enabling him to write all of them straight. When scoring these lines into the parchment, it should not be done with a pencil, because if one uses a pencil, then it's going to be colored, and being colored is going to be a problem. Now, what is the problem of being colored? So there are a number of suggestions of what the problem of colored could be. One suggestion is, to be a potential chatzitza, because now he's not writing on cloth, he's writing on lead. Okay, and even if midine chatzitza, it's not called a chatzitza, but like we said previously, there may be just in general a din that one has to write on cloth, and he's not writing on cloth, regardless of whether halachically it has a din of chatzitza. That's one possibility. Another possibility is because, as we discussed yesterday, there's a din of hakafas gvil. Letters have to be surrounded by parchment and they can't be touching each other. So if the letters are touching each other by way of the pencil marks or whatever other color would be there, so that could potentially be a problem of hakafas gvil. A third problem is that in general it could cause what's called a shinei tzura. It could change the shapes of the letters. For any one of a number of reasons, one should not score lines into the cloth with lead or any other color. Hagah. The Mechaber, you will recall, said that one only needs to score the top line of the tefillin in. The rest of the lines are not necessary. Says the Rama that there are other opinions. What are the other opinions? That you need four lines. Top, sides, and bottom. So that way you have a misgeret, as it were, that you're writing within. Even if one is able to write straight without sirtut, one still is required to have this frame of a sirtut on top, bottom, right, and left within which to write the tefillin, the chay naigim, and that's the minig. Today it happens to be that the minig is that we have sirtut on all the lines and on the sides. We have sirtut everywhere. That's the prevalent minig. Zayin. Halacha l'maish misinai. Tfilin al haklaf, veloya al hadukhsustus, veloya al hagvil. We discussed yesterday regarding the issue of Hakafas Kvil, that it has to be surrounded by parchment, that there are different names for different stages of the parchment and different types of parchment. So try and mention that as quickly as possible. There's something called diphtera. Diphtera are animal hides pre-processing. That's diphtera. Then there's something called klaf, gvil, and duchsustus. Gvil is an entire animal hide which has been processed. So if one takes an animal hide, processes it such that now it's one is able to write on it, that's called gvil. Klaf is when that hide has been split into two. It's machlekes, whether the inside of the hide is the klaf and the outside is the duchsustus, or whether the outside of the hide is the klaf and the inside is the duchsustus. The prevalent hachra is that the outside layer of the klaf is the klaf and the inside layer of the hide is the duchsustus. So halacha l'maisha mi Sinai, tefillin al haklaf v'loy al haduchsustus. Tefillin needs to be written on the outside part of the hide and not on the inside part of the hide, v'loy al hagvil, and not on an unsplit hide either. Kosvin al haklaf b'makam basar. One writes on the inside of the outside. Okay, so if this is the hide, and this is the top, right? Just like a person has on his hand, so this is the outside of the skin, right? The kishkas inside the hand is the inside. So too, same thing over here. Let's say this gemara that I'm holding in my hand is the hide of the animal. So this is the top part. This is the bottom part. So now when I split the hide in half, one writes on the inside of the outer part. Okay? That's what the Mechaber is saying. Kaisman al haklaf b'makam basar. Right? One writes on the flesh side of the outer part of the hide, v'imshina, and if one writes on the outer side of the outer part of the hide, or on either side of the inner part of the hide, that will be unkosher. Mahu klafu mahu duchsustus, right? Now he says, what are we talking about? What's klaf and what's duchsustus? Ha'or b'shasi budai ch'elkanaisi l'shtayim. The hides at the time that they are processed are split into two. The chelak hachitzain, the external part of the hide, shehu letzad haseir, which is the part of the hide which has the hair on it, which faces the avir ha'olam, nikra klaf, that's called klaf. The hapnimi and the innards, the inside of the hide, hadavuk lebasar, nikra duchsustus, the part that faces the kishkis of the animal, that's called duchsustus. When we previously stated that one writes on the klaf part of the hide, on the flesh part of that, that means on the inside, as we explained before, of the outside, which is the spot where it's attached to the inner layer of the hide, right? Because the natural way that hide works is that when it's processed in the gallnut solution, which we discussed yesterday, the hide splits into two. It's kind of like, if you think about like a cereal box, which is made of like cardboard, right? So I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I enjoyed peeling the cardboard into two, right? So that's mamish how the hide of an animal works, right? It just mamish splits right into two. When it's processed in that way. When it's processed in other ways, it's impossible to split it into two. And what we do today is we just scrape off the inside. So it accomplishes the same thing, just instead of splitting it, we scrape the inside. This is what he says. Our hides, which don't split, din klaf. Why? So here he's raising an issue. The issue is that today, aside for the fact that we scrape away this whole inside, so now really you're writing over here, which is where you're supposed to be writing, but we have a different problem because we take off from the top as well. We take off from the outside. So that would be a problem because now I'm like in no man's land. If I'm taking off from here, and I'm taking off from here, so I'm just left with this, and what halacha does this have? So he's explaining that since this removal of the outer part is just being done to make it easier to work with, so that's not a halachic problem, and so long as ultimately you're writing over here, which is the same place you were writing before, that is okay. For anybody listening who can't see the demonstrations that I just gave, there happens to be a sefer called Inside Stam, which has pictures of this discussion in chapter 2, and you can see exactly what we're referring to. And even if we split the R into two, one would still scrape from the outside. It's worth mentioning that there is a Biyar Lacha that says that according to the Chayadam, one is not allowed to do that. One's not allowed to scrape from the outside at all. And today, one can get klaf, what's called Chayadam klaf, which has nothing scraped on the outside, but most of the klaf is scraped on the outside, which according to pretty much all the other Paiskim is fine and has good hashkachas and everything is okay. But you should be aware. Yes, you should be aware that even today there's two types of klafim. Umitzad habasar gairin harbe, and from the flesh side of the animal they scrape away plenty. Adshe ein nishar ela haklaf bilvad. In other words, what he's saying is they get rid of all of the dechsustus. So the entire fatty layer on the inside is all scraped away, and that's taka the way klaf is made today as well. Halacha ches. Tzarech haklaf liyos me'ubid ba'afotzim oy besid, v'tzarech sheyeh me'ubid l'shmai. The processing of the klaf must be done in one of two ways. Be'etzem, the way they did it in the times of Chazal, is what's called tzarech liyos me'ubid ba'afotzim, right? That's the gallnut solution that we were talking about yesterday, and that works not only for ink, it works for processing hides as well, and that was the way it used to be done. At a certain point, for historical reasons, which we don't have time to go into now, they switched the method of processing hides from ibud afotzim, as it's known, to ibud sid, which is a lime solution which processes the hides. The Rishonim discuss this switch, and they say that the processing in sid is perfectly acceptable. There are those that say that it's even preferable, and Lamaisa today, that's the minig pretty much everywhere. All the hides are processed in sid. So that's what he's saying. The klaf has to be processed either with hafatzim or with sid. And it has to be done lishma, which means that when one takes the hide and puts it into the solution, one has to say, Hareini ma'abid oiris elu l'shem kedusha sefer Torah. Or like we discussed yesterday, one can make a tanai. Hareini ma'abid oiris elu l'shem kedusha sefer Torah. Hineni masne she'uchal l'shanoisem l'masha erza. And there are different lashainas that are brought for how to make the tnai, but v'uchal l'shanoisim l'kol masha'eretza, there's different ways to do it. V'tzar sh'yeh mu'ubid l'shmai, there should be mu'ubid l'shma. Toiv l'haitzi, it would be a hider, by the way, there are those that are makbid for this, although it's very rare, to be ma'abid each item for itself. In other words, you could have l'shem kedushas tefillin klaf, you could have l'shem kedushas mezuzah klaf. So that, there are those that are makbid on that, but it's not the prevalent custom, and most places can hold that that's not necessary. Tzarech sheyeh me'ubed l'shmai, period. Toiv l'haitzi b'svasav b'tchilas ha'ibud shehu ma'abdei l'shem tefillin oy l'shem sefer Torah aval im ibda l'shem mezuzah pasul. It's good to speak it out. In other words, machshava is not enough. If one just thinks, I'm being ma'abed these iris l'shem kedushas, whatever, that's not, it's a machlekes if it's ma'akiv or not, but certainly that's not ideal. One should speak out, Hareini ma'abed oiris elu, for tefillin or sefer Torah. Now, why does he say, l'shem tefillin oi l'shem sefer Torah, aval imibda l'shem mezuzah pasul? The reason is because, let's say, we're in hilchas tefillin now. So if he's ma'abed the oiris l'shem kedushas tefillin, l'shem kedushas mezuzah, so mezuzah has less kedusha than tefillin. So if he's ma'abed the oiris for mezuzah, it's not going to work for tefillin because mezuzah is a lower kedusha as opposed to sefer Torah, which is a greater kedusha. So a greater kedusha, we say bechlal masayim mana. Included in 200 is 100. So if I was ma'abed for 200, it'll work for 100, right? If you're ma'abed oiris l'shem kedushas tefillin, that will work for mezuzah. But if you're ma'abed oiris l'shem kedushas mezuzah, it won't work for tefillin. If you're ma'abed l'shem kedushas tefillin, it won't work for sefer Torah. So that's the point that the mechaber is making over here. Halacha tes. Im ibdai eina yehudi. What if a non-Jew was ma'abed the oiris? Now this today is not that relevant, but as recently as 100, 200 years ago, certainly 600, 700 years ago, all the abdonim, all the hide processing factories and manufacturers were all non-Jews, right? That's there was no such thing as Jewish abdonim. It didn't exist. So this halacha was once extremely, extremely relevant. What do you do if there's no Jewish hide maker in town? So im ibdai ena Yehudi, if a non-Jew does the processing, how do we deal with this situation? La Rambam, we don't deal with the situation. Posel, it's simply not kosher. You have to do it yourself, whether you like it or not. Afilu amar le Yisrael la'abid l'shmai. Even if the Jew tells the non-Jew, right? The Rambam was in Morocco, Spain, Mitzrayim, right? So the Jew is there with Ahmed or Mohammed, and he tells him, Mohammed, be ma'abed these iris l'shem kedushas tefillin. Says the Rambam, nothing doing. It's not going to work. Ula harash, kosher, im Yisrael oimid al gaba v'sayeh. According to the Rosh, it will work if the Jew stands there and he tells the non-Jew to do it l'shma, and he assists him a bit, it's going to work. The Rosh holds that that does work, and the Paiskim say that he doesn't even have to assist him very much at all. As long as he's standing over him, b'dievet, according to the Rosh at least, that would certainly work. V'sayek tzaska avoida, says the Ramah. But again, Paiskim say that that part, I believe, is not ma'akev according to the Ramah. V'chein noyegin, and the Ramah adds that that's the minig, as I said, because it was very uncommon to have Jewish abdonim. So this was the minig to be saimich on the Rosh. Baruch Hashem, today there's no shortage of people that make klaf who are from Erlich Yidden, and this halacha Baruch Hashem is not really megeya bizmanenu. Halacha Yud, kishemisamnim hanekavim b'marzeya. Again, we were dealing with non-Jews very often that were being ma'abed ha'iris, so we had to make some sort of a simon, right? Just like when you're sending food with a non-Jew, right? So you have to make simonim. So over here also with the iris, we want to have simonim to ensure that the non-Jew is not going to play any games with the processed hides that we're dealing with. So kishemisamnim hanekavim b'marzeya. When making these simanim with the awl, ke'ein oisius, afal pi, shenokel le'ein yehudi lezayef ein chayshin. Even though, right, we make perforations in the klaf with an awl, let's say your name is Shlaimi and you are the guy doing the ibud, so you make perforations, let's say in Hebrew letters of Shlaima, right, and even though technically the non-Jew could really forge that, because what can he do? He can just take another piece of klaf and put it underneath it and make matching holes in that spot. So it's not that easy. It's not that difficult to forge it. Nevertheless, ein chayshishin. We're not concerned that the non-Jew is going to forge the simen. Mishum demirtas ha'ein yehudi penyakir yisrael b'tfiyas ayin. At the end of the day, the non-Jew is going to be, he's going to have a certain level of fear that he's going to be caught. And therefore, we assume that the simen is good enough, and we're not concerned that the non-Jew is going to forge the simen. Yud Aleph, Orsha Ibdu Shaloy Lishmai. What if you have hides which were processed but not Lishma? Okay, so you have, this could be for one of two reasons. Either let's say a person forgot to say Hareini Ma'abed Oyres Eil Lishem Kedushas Tefillin, or could have a different case. Just in those days, you have to realize there was no paper, they wrote on parchment. That was a standard writing material, right? Or let's say I was once in a klaf factory and there were a bunch of seifrim, all different types of seifrim in there, picking out klaf. And all of a sudden, a not religious lady wearing pants walked in and started looking at klaf. And we found it very fascinating what she was doing there. And somebody asked her, "What are you doing here?" And she said that she's an artist and she draws beautiful pictures on parchment. So that could be another reason, right? That somebody was being ma'abed the parchment for non-kodesh purposes. So what do you do in such a situation? Or she'ivdu shaloy l'shma, you have parchment which was processed with no intention of using it for tefillin. And now all of a sudden, you're 4 days into the process, right? It could take a week or two to be ma'abed the parchment, and you're partway through the process, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, I want to use this parchment. It looks like it's going to come out. It looks like it's going to be a really good batch. I want to use this for my tefillin. So, yesh tikun lachzer la'abdei l'shmai, is it acceptable to take them out, then put them back in l'shmai? Like, let's say, it's like a dugma. Let's say you put something in the microwave, right? It has to be in there for 3 minutes until it's ready. After a minute and a half, you realize, oh yeah, I forgot to say l'shem kedushas, whatever. So you want to pull it out of the microwave and then put it back in l'shmai. So is that going to work? So that's exactly the question over here. Can you pull the iris out in the middle and put them back in l'shma? Yisbar b'tur yaradeh simin reish ayin aleph. And to reveal what it says over there, l'maisa we are makel. And one is allowed to do that. One can take out the hides in mid-process and put them back in l'shma. Halacha yud beis. Yia haklaf me'or behema v'chaya v'oif hatahirim. The klaf should be made from the hides of either a behema or a chaya or an oif, fowl, hatahirim, fowl with a W, hatahirim, which are tahar, meaning it has to be a kosher species, afilu minevelu trefa shalahem. So as we said a second ago, has to be from a kosher species. It doesn't have to be kosher. Okay, so if, let's say, one would have an axe with a broken neck. So that would be treif. One would not be allowed to eat the basar from such a behema, but to use the hide of such a behema to write sefer Torah tefillin or mezuzah on is perfectly acceptable. Avaloi me'or behema v'chaya v'oif hatameim, but not from a non-kosher species. Why? Dechsiv l'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha. Torah Hashem has to be in your mouth, as it were. Mimin hamoter leficha, which means Torah Hashem has to be written on a species which is permitted to enter your mouth. Just as a sidebar, we don't really nowadays write on or of an oif. Okay, that's not commonly done because it's very weak and thin and full of holes, and it's not really practical. But behema of a chaya or a behema certainly is the way that it's done today. V'loy me'or dag, one may not write sefer Torah tefillin or mezuzas on the hide of a fish, afilu hu tahar, even if it's a kosher species of fish, mishum d'nafesh zuame, because it smells. And even with the processing, it's difficult to get the smell out, and therefore it's not covered Shamayim to write Kisvei HaKodesh on such hides, and it's not allowed. Yud Gimel. Yia HaKlaf Shalim. The hide has to be whole, which means, right, the hide has to be whole, W-H-O-L-E, and it should not have a hole, H-O-L-E. Okay, so that's this halacha. Yia HaKlaf Shalim. The klaf should be whole. Shelo Yehei by Nekavim. It should not have a hole. She'ein hadiyoy oivarel, of what type of hole would passel the hides? A hole which the ink does not pass over, which means that the ink falls through. Okay, if you're writing, when you have a donut and you're putting chocolate on the donut, it falls through the hole in the donut, right? If you go to the bagel store and you order cream cheese on your bagel, the cream cheese falls through the center of the bagel. So that would passel klaf if you're ink is falling through a hole in the klaf. The hainu shleita yo'ois nira by chaluka l'shtayim, because then the letter is going to be split in two, right? If you have a letter, imagine you have a vav, and in the middle of the length of the vav, there's a hole in the klaf, so your vav is going to be split in half. You're going to have the upper half of the vav above the hole, the lower half of the vav below the hole, so that would be unacceptable, and it would not be used for a klaf. Which is to say, by the way, that you could use klaf that has a hole in it, but you have to arrange the lettering such that the hole is between words or between letters. It's not to say that you're not allowed to use any klaf that has a hole in it. The point is that one is not allowed to write on top of a hole. So technically, if a sefer is careful and thoughtful and you know, has it worked out in advance, he can arrange the writing such that there won't be anything written on the makim of the Nekev, and it'll be 100% kosher lemahadrin. Yudalad. Haseifrim hazrizim, oisim shloisha mine klofim. Seifrim who are careful have different types, three different types of klaf. Ha'av yoiser, lichtav by parshish shema, the thickest klaf. You know, before we read the halacha, let's explain it first. Then when we read it, it'll make more sense. The tefillin, the bottom of tefillin on the inside have cavities, right? There are four compartments that the parshiyos are placed within, right? When one has tefillin on his head, on his shel resh, so there are four, he has four compartments on his tefillin shel resh protruding upward, right? That's what we said is the ktsitsa. Now, how do the parshiyos get in there? So the batim open, and one inserts one parasha in each one of the four batim, right? We said there are four parashas, and each parasha goes into its bias, its compartment. Now, what we're discussing here is that when putting the parchments into the four compartments, we want it to look as nice as possible. So how does it look as nice as possible? It looks as nice as possible if it's filled up evenly. Right? If everything is uniform, uniformity is always nicer than a lack of uniformity. Now, the problem is that the four parashiyos are of varying lengths. So if there are varying lengths, how are the parchments inside the cavities of the batim going to be filled up evenly? It's not going to be filled up evenly. If each cavity is, let's say, 1 millimeter, let's say it's, for argument's sake, let's call it 1 millimeter wide, so the klaf takes up X amount of space. It's not going to fill it up evenly, and it's not going to look very nice. So to solve this problem, ha'seifrim hazrizim oyusim shloisha mine klafim. They use three different types of klaf. Ha'av yoyser, the thicker one, lichtav by parasha shema. Because since parasha shema is the smallest parasha, so it needs the thickest klaf to fill up the cavity. Shehiktana v'hadak mimenu. We use thinner klaf than that for Vahayim Shamaya, Shehi Yoyser Gedayla, Ula Parshas Kaddish, right? Which is also Kaddish and Vahayim Shamaya are the lengthiest parshias. So they'll have the thinnest klaf. Shema, which is the shortest parsha, will have the thickest klaf. Ula Parshas Vahayakibiacha, Shehi Maruka is Oysim Klaf Dakmoy. This is a misprint, right? I think the place can say it's a misprint because Vahayakibiacha is the middle length, right? Shema and Kaddish and Vahayim Shemaya are the longest. Shema is the shortest, and Vahaya Kiviyacha is the middle one. Ubezei Yismalu Habatim V'Shava, and by doing this, the batim are filled up evenly. V'Zehu Noi L'Tfilin, and this beautifies the tefillin. We're out of time, but in 10 more seconds, I'll just tell you another pshat that's brought in the Ma'asef L'Chol HaMachnas from the Munkacher Rebbe. He says that this is not referring to the inside of the batim. In those days, they used to have batim made from dakais. This is brought in the Ma'asev L'Chol HaMachnas. He says that in those days, they used batim from dakais, and therefore, when you would put parashis in the batim, they would like expand a little bit. So we wanted to expand evenly. So this halacha is actually, when it says, Ubezei yismalu habatim b'shava, the batim will fill up evenly, it's not referring to the beauty on the inside, it's referring to the beauty on the outside. And that was the reason for this halacha.